My hands are a little dirty.
So am I.
If you're gonna die,
and you knew you were gonna die, and you could choose how, what would you choose?
There's kids in there, and I want to get them out.
Hello, and welcome to the Conduit Speaks podcast for Wednesday, September 12th, I believe it is. Having a hard time keeping ever and anything straight nowadays. So, yeah, we got another show 2 weeks out, and things are going well. There's a lot of stuff going on. I guess the fall is here. The weather finally broke out in my neck of the woods. It was nice to get rid of the humidity and feel a little chill in the air in the early morning. And of course, get you thinking about Halloween and scary movies and all that good stuff. So I want to encourage everyone, once again, as I don't like to waste a lot of time on the show with news and updates and all kinds of stuff like that, to head over to theconduitspeaks.com and also the Conduit Speaks Facebook page, because that's where I post a lot of upcoming movie news and information, trailers and stuff like that. And like I said, there's October is going to be a good month for DVD releases, video on demand, and stuff like that. So check out those two places if you can and if you wanna. And of course, want to thank everybody that downloaded the last episode. It was nice to get back to talking about stuff. And if the numbers are any indication, people are still interested. So I appreciate that. Before I get into the three films that I want to talk about, I have to be sure and give a little shout out to the Body Count guys from the Body Count podcast, but they also write reviews, and they're really involved with and influential within the genre community, and especially with independent horror films. They're one of the few podcasts that I make time to listen to anymore when they do pop up with a new episode. And they are actually getting ready to pull together a first issue of the Body Count magazine, which is going to focus on and be devoted to all things involving independent horror and genre film. There's not a ton of information right now. They're going to be having all kinds of fantastic articles and information regarding filmmakers, podcasters, writers, people just involved in every aspect of the genre community, which is pretty cool. And they're running a Kickstarter campaign right now to pull together funds for a variety of different aspects of the magazine, the first issue. So I want to encourage everybody that's listening to not only pass along that information, but go yourself to Kickstarter.com, and you can just search Body Count, and you'll find them there. And I encourage you to take a look. You know, with everything going interwebs and online, if you will, it's one of those rare treats and joys to be able to hold something in your hands and flip the pages. And I've always loved to read. I love books. I love magazines, comics, things like that. And, you know, not a Kindle guy or whatever, Nook and that kind of stuff. So go over, support them financially if you can. If you can't, pass it along to people that you think may be able to or are just interested in that sort of thing. Again, Body Count Magazine, and hopefully we can all be part of helping to make this a reality and kind of be all about what the genre community is all about, and that's making things happen grassroots. So cool. On that note, I think we're going to ease into the first of our three films for the show. Let's see, the first film we're going to get into is 2011's The Road. It was directed by Yam Laranas. It is a Filipino film, and pretty creepy one at that. You're going to get a lot of people who are going to throw their hands up and claim lameness with this for some reason. I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about it, but I quite enjoyed it. It essentially tells the story of three murders that all happened along this same bleak and lonely road out in the middle of nowhere. And it's kind of, the film itself, the three acts are divided up over three different decades. And you kind of go backwards. So you start in 2008, when three kids were being, terrorized, I guess, by a red car. When they pick this particular road to tune up their driving skills. And then you shift back to 98, where you have two sisters whose red car, hint hint, overheated on this the same road. And there's a little twist in there with a boy who's not quite right in the head. And then we go back again 10 years to 1988 and pick up with a child who has a not quite quite so nice mommy. And then we go go fast forward all the way to 2008, where everything kind of ties together. I guess, you know, this is probably one of the more moody straight up horror films that that you're gonna see. The biggest issue that I had with the film was not so much that it was scatterbrained, but there were some plot holes, there were some gaps in logic that I think were more easily forgotten or brushed aside because the atmosphere was so thick with that that feeling of dread and kind of. It's apt because, you know, being named The Road, obviously, you know, it's about a road, but at the same time, even though you're jumping around from decade to decade and story to story, it's kind of the road that grounds the whole thing. So even when there were gaps in logic, there was a pretty solid and twisted foundation to return the narrative back to its source. And you know, similar in effect to what an anthology film would be, whereas the present day kind of becomes the wraparound and the other two stories kind of all bleed into and lead to the quote-unquote present day. There is certainly a lot to enjoy here. I definitely liked it better than VHS, although the only reason I'm comparing those two films is because of the fact that VHS is obviously an anthology and tells a series of different stories, quite a few more than The Road. But I think that shifting between the time frames and the different, essentially main characters, the road gets it right more times than not. I think that that is something that should be definitely be checked out. Again, it's from the Philippines, so there are subtitles. I don't mind subtitles at all. I never have. And I definitely don't think that it will detract from the on-screen action, if you will, to have to read while you watch. And like I said, there's really a heavy duty and methodically dreadful atmosphere here. It's shot beautifully. The performances are really quite believable, and when some of the more horrific things are occurring, it really did a nice job of pulling me in. The only complaint, again, I would say, is once I sat back and really dissected what I had just witnessed, it wasn't a complete experience in the sense that the disbelief that had to be suspended. When you're watching a horror film, whether it be, monsters, the supernatural, serial killers, on and on and on. You kind of go in knowing there has to be a certain level of suspension, of disbelief. So that's there right from the get if you're a genre film fan. But at the same time, take it for what it's worth, enjoy the ride, don't nitpick it too much, and you should have fun with it. I'd give The Road 7 out of 10 for sure, and definitely recommend it as we move on over to our second film, 2011's Famine from infamous director Ryan Nicholson. Now, this isn't out. It's got a 2011 release date. I watched this via a secure online screener from the director, which he was kind enough to allow me to do. So this is essentially a 2012 film. If you know Ryan Nicholson, long history of makeup and special effects work. He have Torched, Live Feed, Gutterballs, Hanger, Star Vehicle, and now Famine, Fame. he's a very divisive filmmaker in that you either love him or you hate him, or I should say his work. I have seen most of his films, some of which I really liked elements of. Other films I quite despised a good majority of it. I think the thing that's always bothered me the most about his films is the abject humiliation and general malice that's directed at the female characters in this film, in his films. The exploitation movies, you're gonna see and experience that level of gender bias. There's just, in the past, has always been something really sophomoric about his approach. He's definitely a gross out guy. But with Famine, I can't say it's a total departure because essentially what you have here with this film is the tagline 30 students, 24 hours, zero survivors. So you kind of pick up in this school, and it's called Sloppy Secondaries. There's a teacher named Mr. Ballsack. So just to give you kind of an idea of where we're going here, you have a history involving the extreme injuring of Mr. Balzac. Basically, this school had put on a 24-hour famine. It's kind of like a sit-in where students just, from what I can gather, hang out, have sex, shoot the shit, and don't eat. And kind of, you know, raising money for the needy around the world, I'm supposing. So we flash back and forth. We get to see what exactly happened to Mr. Balzac. And we understand that for the last 5 years, there has been no famine event because of the awful things that befell our lovable Mr. Balzac. So, new teacher on the scene, she decides to start up the famine again, and we kick right into it. And essentially, you know, the plot is defined and described aptly in that 30 students, 24 hours, zero survivors tagline that I gave you before. I would say the gist of the film, the thrust of the narrative, is basically to satiate and satisfy Nicholson's fans. And for the most part, Nicholson's fans come by for the blood, the guts, the gore, and the kills. And in that respect, famine doesn't disappoint. There's just one grotesque killing after another. It should be noted that the person, quote unquote, on the surface who's committing these crimes is the sloppy secondary mascot, the Nailer. And this is like kind of if you could imagine like a person dressed up in a big fuzzy like Bob the Builder costume with a giant kind of rubber inflatable sledgehammer. So that's what you have. You have these wholly unlikable group of students, and the acting is way over the top. I wouldn't say the acting's poor, because I think that just from the vibe you get and the general delivery of the lines and performances, they were instructed and directed to perform in this way. So it's all kind of played for, you know, goofy, sinister laughs. You know, there's some twists here and there in terms of like the reveal of the killer and the backstory. So you get that. But I mean, outside of some goofy, like really out there dialogue moments and character actions, the people in this movie and most all of Nicholson's movies are wholly and completely unlikable. They're just not good people, and it's not even that they're annoying or they're supposed to be high school kids and they you know, are immature and whatnot. They're really pretty despicable, vile people. You know, the girls all hate each other, the guys all want to fuck the girls, and it's just like, if you've seen Nicholson's other films, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, just be prepared to step into a world where you don't really care much about anybody, and the whole purpose of being there is to see what new and viciously exciting way he finds to dispatch of these despicable people. So it's definitely not my kind of film, and it's, you know, it's certainly not totally on par with what he's done before. The sex and sexual innuendo is there, but the extreme nature of it and the forcefulness of the sexuality is toned down a bit. as far as his films go, I'll say that this is probably the one that I tolerated the most, and I'm not going to slay it with an awful score because I think he accomplished what he set out to do. For everything that I've said before, you'll know just from listening to me talk about this whether or not it's a film for you. If it seems like a film for you, you're probably going to give it an 8 or a 9 out of 10 because, again, for what he sets out to do, he delivers. For me, I'm going to give it a 5. I'm doing that because, in my mind, the way I reacted and experienced it, it just left me, indifferent in a sense. I did enjoy some of the kills and some of the humor. And as I said, if you like what you're hearing from me so far up until my score, you're probably going to love this. So I'll recommend it on that note. You should definitely be in the mood for it. It's a good, group of friends hanging out, having fun type of movie. It's also a good film if you're just in the need for something mindless and more fun and visceral, blood and guts to kind of just zone out to. So, yeah, that's Famine. And then we're going to move on to talk about movie number 3, Midnight Sun. Again, another 2011 dated film that's been released recently in 2012. And it's directed by Scott Liebereck. And this film, I have to admit, from the poster art and from the themes and even kind of the title, Midnight, Twilight, I was a little bit scared about it, but I read up on it, watched a trailer, talked to some people who were thinking about seeing it and who have seen it. And for me, Twilight has soured me. I've only seen the first two films. My wife essentially made me watch them with her after making her watch things for me. I've not read any of the books, but I've never really adapted well to the softening and romanticism of the vampire lore. I'm okay with sexualizing and turning more lustful the vampire's drive for blood. But at the end of the day, in the root of the story, the vampire still needs to feed off the living. And I was afraid, going into this before I gathered more information, that this was just another attempt to capitalize on the Twilight, the fanaticism and fandom behind it. But when done well, the vampire mythos and mythology is a fantastically entertaining one. And this one gets it right because it spins it. There is a sort of love story at the core, but it's a real, emotional, adult, complicated love story. And I'm okay with that. Essentially, what you have here is a young man, Jacob, who is suffering from a skin disorder. And that's all I'm going to say about that. He's fairly isolated and introverted. And once he kind of stumbles across a local bartender, a bond begins to form. While all at the same time, Jacob's condition, if you will, kind of gets worse and worse and worse, and he eventually starts to seek out human blood. Seemingly the one thing that's giving him some relief from his physical and consequently emotional suffering. Then you get law enforcement on his on the path looking for the grisly murders, the person responsible for the grisly murders. And yeah, you go from there. What makes it interesting, if you will, and you know, more emotionally powerful is the fact that you have two people who are very much kind of circling the drain in Jacob and the young woman whose name escapes me right now. I believe it's Mary, who are kind of falling for each other. They both have their own personal demons. Mary, in the form of drug use, and of course Jacob. Why did they name him Jacob? That just dawned on me. Isn't that one of the guys from the Twilight movies? Fuck. Anyway, so they're totally lost my train of thought with that. You know, they're kind of, like I said, circling the drain and dealing with their own demons. And so you have kind of addictions on both end there, and they're kind of falling for each other and trying to keep their personal horrors at bay. And you get, how'd you say it? You get some spiked moments of violence. You know, there's people that are drained of their blood by use of IV. You know, there's some gunplay. Nothing super gory and super violent. I mean, this is definitely categorized as a horror film because of the fact that it deals with the vampire mythos. But if someone could truly suffer from a disease like Jacob does, and only satiate his pain through the consumption of human blood, this would definitely slide more easily and effectively into a dark drama subgenre, because at the heart of it, it's really about these two people kind of fighting off their desires to destroy themselves in order to try and love another person and make it work between them. So the performances of the two leads are pretty much out of this world, and I love this film, and I do think it's kind of sad that they titled it Midnight Sun. I'd like to believe it is more aptly you know, attuned to their desire to reflect the skin disease and Jacob's anomaly. But at the same time, again, with the Twilight Midnight, I have the fear that they were kind of trying to piggyback on this, and with the poster too, with this whole Twilight thing. And it's not, you know. So if you've stayed away from it for those reasons, or if you haven't heard of it or have had no interest in it, definitely seek it out. It's a really powerful film that had me questioning a lot. When it comes to relationships and lives and the things people do to themselves, all the while trying not to do them to others. So, very, very enjoyable, very deeply emotive film, and I'd give Midnight Sun a 9 out of 10 for sure. So, you kind of got three very different movies this show, and I hope you enjoyed hearing about them. I definitely recommend all three for very different reasons. And hopefully, if one or all of them piqued your interest, you'll check them out and love them. Give me some feedback if you do, or even if you don't, send in thoughts, questions, whatnot to theconduitspeaks@gmail.com. Again, don't forget theconduitspeaks.com, where all the reviews and articles are, and then supplemented by The Conduit Speaks over on Facebook, where you'll get all kinds of different quick bits and bytes and links and news and trailers and stuff like that. And please don't forget about that Kickstarter campaign for The Body Count, guys. It's shaping up to be something pretty cool and good for those of us that don't always find what we're looking for in zines like Fangoria or Horror Hound, things like that, that although they do take a look at independent horror and genre films, they spend more time on the mainstream, bigger stuff, which is fine. That's their audience. But if you want, you know, if you're looking for something that spends a lot more time on the independent, underground, more subversive stuff, I think this this Body Count magazine, if we can all help get it off the ground, is going to be more attuned to that, where you're going to have the long reviews, the long articles, the long editorials that involve, like I said, the darker, more underground films of the genre and subgenre and sub-subgenre. So it was great talking to everybody again. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back in another 2 weeks. So until then, take care, and talk to you then. Bye. Hey guys and gals, do you like movies? Well, I sure do. There's nothing like going to your local multiplex and dropping $10, $12, hell, even $15 on the latest blockbuster. What could be more enjoyable than sitting in a really uncomfortable chair for upwards of 90 minutes, listening to a group of preteens yap, and watching all those wonderful cell phone screens light up around you with each incoming text? $10 for a tub of shitty popcorn? Yes, please. Knowing that we can all count on Final Destination 5 and 3 Hulk reboots in 7 years just gives me the warm and fuzzies. So if you're ever thinking about staying home, where you have a plethora of snack choices, your favorite armchair to relax in, and the option of throwing back a cold one if you so choose, stop. I'm here to remind you that these $200 million films need your support. How else will we be able to keep Will Smith, Angelina Jolie, and Tom Hanks clothed, much less fed? It's the little guys we need to be worried about. The films that are made by real artists with real vision. Those are the people we want to keep our hard-earned dollars away from. So remember, the next time you're contemplating staying home and popping in a DVD of a film that actually requires thought and personal investment, don't do it. Those are the ones you want to be pirating online. Be your own modern-day Robin Hood. Steal from the poor and give to the rich. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you at the movies.